Praise be to thee, O Christ. Glory be to thee, O Lord. I'm sure we've all had a very busy time, and here we are at the sermon for Trinity 8. And Jesus, in our gospel reading for today, issues a serious warning for us to beware of false prophets. Sadly, this warning is more needed today than ever before. Jesus said in Matthew that there would be more and more false prophets. St. Paul warned the elders of the church of Ephesus to be on guard, because after his departure, savage wolves would come among them, not sparing the flock. False prophets do not introduce themselves as such. They don't wear name tags. They don't go by the title of Reverend so-and-so. This is what makes false teachers so dangerous. They come as wolves dressed as sheep, the most ravenous of animals disguised as the most harmless of animals. This is the deceitfulness of the false prophets. And with our reading and also our sermon today, Jesus may have had a specific notion of the false prophets of his day in mind. During the 400 silent years between the Old and New Testaments, in which no prophetic word from God was heard, many pretenders arose claiming to be prophets with a word from God. This continued into the first century. They would attempt to dress in animal skins, as the prophets of old often had. Jesus may be saying here that all those who try to mimic the attire of a prophet are not prophets. Instead, underneath their costume, for that's all it is, they are ravenous wolves. But false prophets were not just a problem in the first century. We have more than our share today, and they still use the same tactic, trying to pass themselves off as the real thing by disguising their true nature. And Jesus describes how a false prophet can be recognized. We often talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing, suggesting some character that we don't think is quite for us, or probably anyone else, secretive, worrying, or frankly disconcerting. The famous injunction to judge not is often taken as a command to excuse any kind of poor behavior and to forbid any kind of evaluation of the actions of another. Now, that is clearly not what our verses mean in light of the context of our reading. Here, Jesus says that we should be fruit inspectors. The actions and lifestyles of false prophets tell on them. This truth begins: do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The obvious answer to this rhetorical question is no, of course not. Good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. This is a very simple horticultural principle that all of us can understand. What is the implication here? False prophets are known by their bad deeds. They may be able to hide their deadliness temporarily under a coat of sheepskin, but eventually they will be exposed for what they are, because no matter how much they look like sheep, they will always still behave like wolves. I remember in my earlier years in the city working in Parliament, encouraging MPs to be orderly with our expenses and not suggest that they needed additional benefits. Some of you might remember the expenses scandal. None of them were out and about to be criminal. It is just that they were busy and didn't take care of their finances. Or was it just greed, as some might say? Billy Graham, still alive today and with us in his late 90s, is an honest evangelist and wonderful motivational speaker who became known as a tele-evangelist. I myself went to one of his major events in London and went up, as they said. Crowds of us, largely out of curiosity and with several friends, we signed up for Christian leadership courses and various other options. Some of you will remember and understand what I mean. Rallies took place at Crystal Palace and various other major locations in the UK. We were all, according to Billy Graham, to become new prophets and evangelists. The Billy Graham Center was founded and opened in 1981 on the campus of Wheaton College in the US in Illinois. I spent time in the States at Wheaton, the center and library, which coincidentally is where my uncle Malcolm Muggeridge, his archives and writings reside. And I quote Billy Graham, "God has given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. I've read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all right. My home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. Being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby we can grow to be more and more like Christ." And there's no telling how many more will be revealed as charlatans during our lifetimes. But the greatest test of a false prophet is his or her teaching. Is it consistent with the Word of God? If not, it's false. This means we must know our Bible ourselves. The best defense against a counterfeit is to know the original. I am told that this is the way banks train their employees to recognize counterfeit money. They expose them to the real thing so much that the false is immediately apparent. That is the kind of people we need to be. This is what we are called to be as Christians. It's part of our responsibility to read our Bibles so thoroughly that we should be able to pick out the false teachers and the prophets. I lay myself wide open at that, as we should all probably be able to recognize them if we've read our Bibles and we've applied ourselves to the study of Scripture. There is a final reason to avoid false prophets in these words by Jesus. It is that they have a destiny of destruction. Our gospel says that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.